Before I announce my text, I would just, I feel I ought to just say how I've been brought to it. There are times when it is profitable to relate how the Lord leads us by his Spirit into certain words. On Saturday evening, I was quietly reading in preparation for the Sunday, and also I had this service at Uffington in mind as well. The word I should read as a text seemed to stand out as I was turning the pages over. And as I read it, I thought, well, I know this. It's very familiar. But I couldn't remember preaching from it. And I couldn't remember hearing it spoken from. And I couldn't determine it. I went to bed, and I several times during the night I woke, and I still could not think where I had heard this text. And then when I came down Sunday morning, the text on the calendar was the very same text. And immediately I knew where and what connection it was this word was given. I remembered then that we were lent a tape of one of God's servants, and it was a sermon he preached from this text. But I would not like you to think that I was going to try and repeat what that dear man said, because I couldn't. I can't tell you now the gist of his sermon. I know it was concerned more with the context of this chapter. But my mind has been led to the text, but it's been opened up to me in a rather different, very different way, which I hope we may prove to be of the Holy Spirit. The word I read as a text you will find in the first book of Samuel, chapter 9, and at verse 27. The first book of Samuel, the 9th chapter and the last verse. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us." And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Bid thy servant pass on before us." And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." As you will notice, this the context of this word concerns Saul, chosen as king of Israel. And this word was spoken by Samuel the seer. It was a word from God. It was spoken by a servant of God. And that we would ever desire that which the servant is called to speak is the true word of God with the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit from above. There was no question about this being from God. But the way my mind has been led, as you may realize from the chapter that we have read, is that the same Almighty God deals in remarkable ways, wondrous ways, to bring his word into the hearts of those whom he deigns to save, and those who in his infinite justice, his righteous judgments, are lost. The same word is spoken in both cases. The word of God goes forth to the believer and the unbeliever. It goes forth throughout the world to the sinner and the saint. But it's what effect? What power attends? What is the issue that is the very important matter that we have laid upon our mind tonight? And where do we stand in regard to the word of the Lord, the word of God, which is set before us continually as we worship God in His house. We hear His dear servants proclaim His truths. But what is the effect? There were two souls. We read of one in our reading. The other is in our text. Two men of the same name. In some respects they were alike. We read of Saul, who was made king of Israel, that he was a choice young man, goodly. There was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people. That was Saul, who was king of Israel. Then we have read tonight of Saul of Tarsus. And he was a great man. He had great power. He was learned. He was given authority from the highest places to do those things which he felt he must do. But there, the resemblance ends, except for this. The Lord God used an instrument in each case to speak unto them. They were not left to their own designs. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus as he was not left to his own wisdom, but to come to the knowledge which he was brought to in the chapter we have read. He had to be brought to nothing. He had to lose all that he thought he possessed, that he might obtain that one rich blessing which God bestows upon all that love and fear His name, and that saving grace. But before that, he had to lose so much. Pride, self-righteousness must fall before Jesus will be all in all. Now this, then, is the two cases that I feel I want to try and venture to speak from. Saul, in the day of Samuel, whom God appointed to be king of Israel. But he was rejected by God. He was accepted of the people, and he was well thought of. He stood head and shoulders higher than any of them. An outward view is oftentimes very deceiving. And amongst the children and family of God, it can lead to many a cause of trouble and confusion. The outward appearance, and the outward walk, and the conversation can all appear as it appeared with this King Saul, to be good. He was goodlier than any about him. But God rejected him. Why? Was it because he did not know the word of God? No. That was clearly spoken to him. That I may show thee the word of God. That word was made known to him. God's command was clearly set before him. And we read on in this book of Samuel. It's not many chapters after, 15th I think, where we find him under this awful judgment of God. Because, never forget it, Saul went to hell. He was no child of God, and yet God dealt with him, and God spoke to him through his servant. But he was solemnly rejected. And why? Disobedience was the reason. Disobedience and a proud heart, a proud spirit. The word that was spoken to him by Samuel the seer, the prophet, as he entered into this high position as king of the chosen nation of God, he was to go and slay the foe. Agag was one, the king. He was to utterly destroy, because God had demanded it. And there was no question about the clearness of the instruction. But what do we read? What is the sound of the bleating of the sheep I hear, etc.? But we save those to sacrifice unto the Lord. There was the excuse. Oh yes, he got a ready excuse. We've kept the best for the Lord. But the Lord had said, destroy all. And Samuel had to speak very, very plainly in that matter, as he made known to Saul, the king, that he had displeased God. And that through disobedience. Well, what are we to say to this? Is there then any lesson for us here? As we are enabled to hear the word of God. Because it's not denied us. We have this blessed book open before us when and where we want. It's not been removed from us. And that's a mercy. None can say, well, we never heard it. But as with Saul here, listen to what Samuel had to say unto him. What meaneth this bleating of the sheep, the lowing of the oxen? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said, say on. He had no fear. He could not see, understand, could not comprehend the enormity of the sin he had committed. When there was little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, and commanded thee to go and destroy all this nation of the Amalekites until they be consumed. There was the command. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone the way which the Lord sent me. I've brought Agag, the king. But the people took of these things to sacrifice to the Lord thy God. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. We need to be brought under the teaching of this verse. Stand thou still a while. Stand thou still a while. It's an exhortation most needful for each of us. We are so compassed about with many cares, many things that are of this life, We're compassed about when we come into the house of God to worship, many times with things that are not profitable. But, says the Lord to his servant here, stand thou still a while, and he'll bring the soul he's graciously dealing with, as he brought this sinful one, to stand still a while and consider. The line of a hymn too has troubled me today. I'm a poor thing, I had to mourn because my memory seems to get worse and worse. And it wasn't until I went for a little walk this afternoon that I was favoured to receive that which I've been asking for. I had a second line of a hymn upon my mind, and I could not find that hymn. But when I went for a little walk, it dropped in. For here is the description of one who is to stand still a while and wait for the word of the Lord. Peace, my complaining, doubting heart, ye busy cares, be still. That was the only word I could get. And I wanted to see what the rest of the hymn was about. But the Lord gave it. Adore the just, the sovereign Lord, nor murmur at his will. And then that hymn goes on to speak of his unerring wisdom, of his mercy, of his compassion, but above all of his sovereignty in his dealings. Let me reflect with humble awe, whene'er my heart complains, compared to what my sins deserve, how easier my pains. But we don't come to this conclusion until by the grace of God we hear this exhortation and are brought into quiet, submissive obedience to it. Stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Now we must leave Saul. That's only a few thoughts, but we must bring it forward. Because there we see the solemn fruit of disobedience to the word of God in whatsoever way it is sent into our heart or our mind. It may be as clear as crystal as it was here, but he rejected it. And he went his own way. How different with the other soul. And here we see the wisdom of God in the provision of this holy book, which is his revealed mind and will concerning the welfare of his beloved church, and is left on record for the encouragement of those who may be very fearful. Yes, here we see the second. A sinner, a violent sinner, a rebellious sinner. But in the eternal purposes of the God of all grace, he was an object of grace and mercy, and brought to a saving knowledge of this blessed Lord Jesus, whom he had persecuted. And nothing could withstand. And nothing can withstand that work of grace which is implanted in the heart of a true child of God. All the change is wrought in a mysterious manner, but it will be found in the experience of this teaching that we each have to be brought to a place where we have to stand thou still a while. And it's most important that when that command is given, we do it. And not be taken up with these busy cares, which would rush here and there. Our mind goes here and there. And sometimes even in our solemn things, our holy things, we want to be moving on before the Lord commands it. Oh, sometimes the ministers of God find this, you know. And they have to mourn because they prove the vanity of it and the solemnity of it. Oh, how many a servant of God would like to be Welsh doctor, ready for preaching the gospel. But the Lord commands, and I believe in the mind, it applies to each service that has to be entered into. Stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. That's the purpose of the standing still. It's not through laziness. It's not through weariness. It's to prevent anything of man rising up and marring the glory of the God and of this His only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who is to be preached in that glorious gospel. Stand thou still a while. Do you know what it is to stand still a while because God has said so? You've been troubled, perplexed. You've been full of these busy cares. Could not see the way cleared up. Didn't know what step to take. What the issue will be. So concerned over many things like Martha. Yet the Lord says, stand thou still a while. And what effect does that have? What has it had on you? It brings gracious submission. It brings a quietness of mind and of heart. During that season when the Lord says, stand thou still. And the mercy of it is that when He says, stand thou still, He has a purpose of love He's going to make known. He's moving. By His blessed Spirit, He does the moving. And here, in this case, there was Samuel was sent to speak the word. In the portion we have read tonight, there was again an instrument used. And they're only instruments. However gracious a man may be, he cannot impart in this time of quietly standing still and waiting for the word of the Lord, a word from God. He cannot impart one letter, let alone a sentence. He may have deep concern in his soul over those, and perhaps particularly to some to whom he's speaking. He may be well acquainted with some in the trials they're passing through. But it's of no power or use for him to say to such, stand thou still a while, and I'll give you a word. No, the Lord says, stand thou still a while, and then he sends the instrument. And he is used of God to impart that saving word, that comforting word, that word of consolation. Or it may be at times a word of reproof, but nevertheless, it's in love. Oh, Saul of Tarsus proved this in his experience in the chapter we have read. He was brought low. But the Lord dealt very tenderly with him, most graciously. He made his condescending mercy known, and in such a marvelous way and manner, the light shone from heaven. That's the beginning of it, isn't it? When that light shines from heaven, then it begins to reveal to us what we are and where we are and the awful end of remaining there. It reveals us as sinners, Oh, this light shone, and it found its mark. It entered into the heart of Saul of Tarsus. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? And then the Lord spake, Here's the word. Oh yes, he did not keep him in ignorance and darkness for long. Some poor souls are. And that makes them mourn and cry bitterly, because they feel their poor petitions, their desires have not been heard, and they anxiously wait to know whether indeed that prayer of theirs was of the Spirit. Was it of God and to God? Or was it but a vain imagination? A figment of their own mind? Well, Saul hears this voice. He fell to the ground. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? What a wonderful light it was that in a moment transformed his whole view from despising this man from Galilee and saying, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Hard for thee to kick against the pricks. This was the place of Saul of Tarsus. Standing still, stand thou still a while. Bid the servants pass on. They had no part in this. They heard a voice, they saw a light, but they were but objects of fear. There was no teaching, no gracious teaching for them. And it's rather remarkable, but on the past Lord's Day, we were trying to speak a little of Daniel. And it just comes to mind. He had that very same experience. The servants fled in terror when that word came for Daniel. The vision. And then the word of promise. Fear not. Be thou strong. Be thou strong. Isn't it just the same experience that here? For Saul of Tarsus. It was for him alone. It is, and we must emphasize this, it stand thou still a while. Oh, is there a soul here this night? Is there an exercised burdened soul to whom this word applies? Stand thou still a while, that this blessing may be made known to you, that I may show thee the word of God. Does the word of God create in your soul an appetite? Does it create a desire? Does it bring forth that within you that says, Lord, but if thy words apply to my case, to my soul, with power from on high, then shall I know the answer to that opening hymn that we had. The witness that I am thy child. Stand thou still. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I will show thee the word of God. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city. And it shall be told thee what they must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. They had no part in it. This was for Saul, afterwards to become Paul, the beloved apostle. Arise. And now, that standing still a while was to be altered. There was to be a gracious moving. There was to be given divine instruction, and that in God's appointed way. And that way we read of, arise, go to the city. Well, there it was all prepared. Infinite wisdom had prepared of that which should be used to Saul of Tarsus to bless his never-dying soul. And infinite wisdom has prepared your path and mine, the way we take, every incident of our life concerning that path. He has appointed the fears, the sorrows, the anxieties, the perplexities that so beset us. Oh, if we are those who are by the grace of God called to stand thou still a while, that we may have shown unto us the word of God, all those things will be put into their right perspective and their right place, and the issue will be good. Go into the city. And Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind. They led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And there's another similarity with the teaching and instruction of Daniel here. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And we read on the past day that Daniel, for 3 weeks, there was no pleasant bread past his lips, neither was there any wine, nor did he anoint himself. When the Lord is teaching, the Lord is all in all. And the things of this earth are held in less esteem. 3 days, 3 nights, 3 weeks. It matters not. That time appointed is fulfilled. And at the end of that appointed time, then, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. This was the command given to the instrument, Ananias. Oh, what a mercy, what a favour that God uses poor sinners as instruments in the effecting of his sovereign purposes. Why, it's enough to break the hardest heart and to humble us before God. And this same dear man whom we're concerned with in this chapter afterwards had to confess it. Unto me, the least and less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should declare and preach this glorious gospel which was made known unto me. Oh, there was no pride of the Pharisee then. That had all been taken away. Stand thou still a while, and I will, that I may show thee the word of God. Ananias queried it, questioned in his mind. That's the failings of man, however good they may be. He questioned this. But the Lord God overruled all, brought his mind and heart and spirit into submission to his holy will. Go thy way, the chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, here is the word of God that was to be shown to this man, this beloved object of mercy. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, Brother Saul." Oh, that sweet union that was brought forth from this gracious dealing of our gracious God. Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight. That was a temporal blessing. He had had a sight given him which had never be lost, and that was spiritual sight. But he received the temporal blessing, but above all, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Why, isn't it worth standing still a while, and letting all the cares of this life rush by us? Pray to be separated from them for a little season, if it please the Lord to make his word known unto us. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Now the time has hastened on, and there was several things I would like to have added. I must add one. Oh, I would like to have spoken more concerning this word of God that was made so precious to the Apostle Paul as Saul of Tarsus. But is there any application in the word of our text to any exercised soul here? I pray God there is, for it's laid upon my mind. And if there be, then stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. And I can't go in detail, time won't permit. But in this word of God, which he has kindly given us, we see the whole way in which God leads his children in the way of salvation. From beginning to end, from conviction, repentance, knowledge, instruction, revelation, and impartation, all the beauties of salvation which are in Christ Jesus our Lord are revealed in this word. And also, as in the chapter we have read, one of the revelations of this word is a mark and evidence that God has called you to stand still a while. Behold, he prayeth. Now, there's been some prayers gone up from this place. There's been some prayers gone up from individual souls, from their hearts indeed. They have known what trial and trouble and perplexity and sorrow is. And they've prayed unto the Lord. They've cried unto the Lord. And he has in mercy graciously heard and answered. Now, in the making known of his word, they are to stand still a while and consider what the Lord has done in response to their heart cries. I'm going to read just a very short portion that I hope will be, by the grace of God and the power of God, applied. Here is the word of God. I will show thee the word of God to such a soul as this, who's exercised and burdened because they know not at the time where they stand. They want instruction. They seek instruction. They've heard an answer to their petition. They've been known and been brought into gracious deliverance in some respects, but still, they are to stand still a while that the word of God may be showed to them. If time would permit, I would just read a portion of the 116th Psalm. Here is the word of God shown to to such an exercise soul as this. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Oh, how it describes the path, doesn't it? Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. It shall be shown thee what thou shalt do. Gracious is the Lord, righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. It shall be shown thee what thou shalt do. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. He's heard your cry. He's made known your request to be according to his holy mind and will, and he's commanded deliverance. Oh, what a mercy to have such a God as this is our God. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? It shall be shown thee what thou shalt do. God will show. He may use an instrument, but God will show. Stand thou still a while and consider all that you have received, all the mercies that have been your portion. Consider now to whom all the honour and glory is due. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now, in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Now, if that's the word of God that is shown unto us, in our exercises, under our burdens, amidst our fears, how vitally important that we are favored with the grace of submission to his will and gracious obedience to his command. So we must close these few solemn thoughts, searching thoughts. King Saul was rejected because he disobeyed. Saul of Tarsus was accepted because he cast off all that he possessed, all that he could boast, and waited wholly and solely in humble prayer upon the mercy of a gracious God. And where were his eyes fixed? Jesus. Looking unto Jesus only. And he is the Saviour of the lost. He is the Redeemer who paid that price for saved sinners, quickened souls. Burden they may be, but that burden will be removed in God's good time. Stand thou still a while
and I will, that I may show thee the word of God.
Well, these are very incomplete thoughts, but I had to venture with it. It was laid on my spirit. May I add his blessing to his own word and pardon anything we've said amiss for his name's sake. Amen.